Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the monthly life coaching call. I am Coach Dina. Let me change my name here. As you all come in, say hello in the chat. Speaking of chat, make sure that it is set to everyone. Otherwise, no one can see you. And let me change my name. Tell me where you're from. Tell me where you're tuning in from while I change my name. I also have Coach Ashley here with me tonight. If you can raise your hand, Ashley, I am going to put you up as panelist. Can you all hear me? I feel like I'm far away. Give me a thumbs up. Okay, good. And then how do I enable the closed captioning? Ashley, do you know? Oh goodness. I'm going to trust that. Oh, Shopsalot says that today is her 5-year anniversary. Wow. Happy anniversary. Speaking of anniversaries, I'm also celebrating, Jean Shopsalot. I'm also celebrating because a year ago today, I became part of the coaching team and I started working with private clients. I am a certified life coach and it's been a year. It's been a hot second. I work with 30 private clients every week. We work on their goals and things, you know, not only weight loss, they have all kinds of goals. And it has been a complete honor. I joined No BS in 2019. In 2020, about this time, things happen around this time. Around this time, an email came in and said that they needed someone for the community team. And it was almost like something came over me. And I was like, yes, that is what I want to do. And I filled out the application, like I closed my office door. And it was almost like I was possessed. I just like filled out the application as best as I could. And I was on fire. And then like the next week, I got called in for an interview and the rest is history. Last year, decided to get certified as a life coach because I believe in this work. I believe in No BS. And then I was invited to be on the coaching team. If you are here listening to the call, we have pre-selected the people who will be coached tonight. I want you to listen. Your situation may not be exactly like theirs, but if you take a listen as to what you can apply in your life, there's a lot that you can do, that you can learn from, that you can change in your own life. Because it 2019, it is 2023, and my life has changed. I was never coached live, but I listened to probably all of the coaching goals. I was a deep dive diva that came across my way. And little by little, I started doing the work, changing, noticing my thoughts, changing them, doing the work. And I invite you to do the same. I invite you to do the same. We have, like I said, pre-selected people who will be coached tonight: Kimberly Perry, Trish Milburn, Heidi Wells, Carrie Barton. If you can raise your little hand, I'll call you up. Coach Ashley will be in the, love me some Coach Ashley. She'll be in the chat with you all and in the Q&A. If you have any questions for her, she can help you out in the chat and in the Q&A. I have some really exciting announcements. So we're in the midst of May, right? We're in the midst of May and it is movement challenge. Move your body. So if you haven't started, you know that it's never too late and no BS to start. So I urge you to go. Coach Ashley will be putting the link to the movement page on the website and you can check it out. All we ask you to do is to check out the movement trackers, pick which one is for you and see what's doable for you. Open up to the idea of how can I do movement? What will I do? If you've been doing something, put it in the chat. I would love to see what you all are doing so you can inspire each other. As long as it's doable, as long as it's for you, it counts, right? It counts. We have amazing prizes. We have 5 100 gift certificates to Fabletics, which includes Lizzo's brand. She was here. This is the face that I got, was because she was here in the Raleigh area where I live. And she had a concert and I went and it was amazing. She's amazing. And she's just so empowering and amazing. And her brand, I need one of those gift certificates too. If you participate in the challenge at the end of the month, we'll send out a survey and then we're going to select winners from that. So that'll be exciting. Tomorrow night, there will be a call with Coach Haley. She's a guest coach and she'll be talking about working through pain. If you have pain in your life, she will help you out with that and give you some great tips. I'm really looking forward to that call tomorrow night. Also, if pain is an excuse, she will help you with that. If you've, you know, had fear of like, how can I move? Speaking of excuses, see how I'm tying all of these in? I like worked hard for these announcements. No Excuses Virtual Camp is coming up July 14th through 16th. Oh, there's going to be an amazing panel that will be during camp with guest speakers, Jill Angie, Judith Gatton, Kara Lowenthal. Coach Ashley is also going to put the link so that you can check it out too. And if you don't know who they are, go check it out. They're amazing. Along with the camp itself, like the camp itself, as if that's not going to be enough, we're going to have that panel. We still have swag available. We will continue having swag as part of sign up for as long as we have it. We still have it. So please sign up. If that's not enough, the first pre-camp workshop will be this Saturday. So if you sign up for camp, you get a special pre-camp workshop with Coach MJ. You saw her coaching this past Sunday. Coach Kathy, you'll see her tomorrow. But they, if you sign up for camp, you get pre-camp workshops and they'll be hosting their first one. So you haven't missed out, sign up and you can join that workshop on Saturday. Speaking of Coach Kathy, do you see how I'm like connecting? She will be in the Q&A tomorrow. And she's going to be talking about busting your crappy thoughts about movement. She also has an exciting announcement. Can't say. You want to tune in. So check it out tomorrow. Also, if you're speaking of movement, let's think about summer, right? Let's think about summer. Again, you see how I'm connecting? Summer Reset is coming June 3rd. It is free to you because you're a member, because you're amazing, because you're awesome. You don't have to pay anything to be part of the Summer Reset, but you can invite your friends. The Summer Reset, which was really cool, we had it last year. It just sets you up for a good summer. Like, how do we handle barbecues, cookouts, summer drinking, all of that, right? Saturday, June 3rd, free to you as a No BS woman, as a No BS member, but you can invite your friends. They can sign up for $19 and check out like what No BS is all about. Tonight, we are coaching. It is a life coaching call. We all know, right, that weight loss is the goal here in No BS, but life happens. And the way that our life works, it does kind of connect with our weight loss. It is not a weight loss specific call. We may run into it, right, as we chat. But tonight is a general life coaching call. And we have several people who signed up. We sent out an email and asked who wants to be coached about any topic. And these people signed up, and I will call the first person, which is Kimberly Perry. Kimberly, are you here? I'm going to promote you to the stage, and then we can have a little chat. You guys, when people come up to get coached, give them lots of love. It ain't easy, right? To be on Zoom in front of everybody. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Is it your birthday?
It is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Screen.
Okay, that sounds good. Tell us, what would you like coaching on?
I wrote in about just feeling very defensive when I talk to other people, and I see that it has a really huge impact on my relationships. In pretty much every aspect of my life, with my family, with friends, with coworkers, with my boss, that just like as people talk to me, like my first instinct is to defend. And I seem to never have a second instinct. I just kind of stick with the defense. And I've been listening to the relationship course a lot, kind of on repeat, especially unit 3, talking about influence and control. And just feeling, I really relate to feeling like I want to be in control, but it's not working for me.
What does that mean, defensive? Like, give me an example of when that happens. Like, if you have a recent example of when that happened.
I mean, it's even just the most simplest things of like, you know, hey, I would prefer if you did this. And I just be like, well, I did it for this reason. And I'll just come up with kind of explaining myself. I always feel the need to explain myself.
So it's like when someone opposes your opinion, like you have differing opinions, and then that gut reaction comes up. Why do you think that comes up?
I don't know. I guess I just want to prove myself and just kind of show that I do things for a reason. I just really don't like feedback, I guess.
Is it feedback or they're just sharing their opinion?
It's both. I think it's much worse when people give me feedback, but I definitely see it even when someone's giving me their opinion of if I don't agree with their opinion, my first thought is like, well, I don't agree with that. And I don't think that that's right. And here's all my reasons why. And it just becomes very argumentative, and it's not a way I want to live my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So like to yourself, you feel argumentative, like that's your first gut reaction.
Yeah. And then it leads to a lot of arguments and negative conversations. Like, I just feel like my point of view is the ultimate point of view of it's really important for you to understand where I'm coming from. And that I feel like listening to the influence and control, I can see that I want to have a lot of control over the way other people think and feel about me. And I just don't know how to get past that, because I seem to not have a thought beyond like, I really just want this control.
What would happen if they agreed with you?
If they agreed with me, I don't even know what I would do.
like, Kim, like, you're right.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it happens when they don't agree with you, right? And when they don't agree with you, what does that mean about you? You're thinking, I need to tell them that I'm right.
Yeah. Otherwise, I feel like I'm wrong. And I go on this like negative mental spiral of like, you're not good enough, or the things you do aren't good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not interesting enough. You do these things wrong. And it becomes like, if one thing is wrong, you're all wrong.
That's so good to know, right? Like, did you know that? Did that come up?
I do kind of know that. And I don't feel like I have control over that. Like, I know Corinne's always talking about how you have control over your thoughts, and I just don't feel like that's true. I feel like I don't have control over my thoughts. They just kind of, whatever comes out, comes out.
Well, there's, yeah, there's a difference though. Like I like to call it like the factory model, right? Like we all come with our automatic thinking. I love the term primal brain, because I know that in the membership, we say automatic thinking a lot, but I kind of love the primal brain. Like we are all but mere mortals. We are all but mammals, right? Like my dog, Roxy, she's a mammal. She also has that primal brain that I have, that you have. Like we have this primal brain. It is made for it to have automatic thoughts. Like that's what it's made to do. And it's made to keep us safe, keep us comfortable, and it loves a process. Like it loves, you know, you can even see yourself at work, right? Like if you do things regularly, you're like, ooh, I know. Oh, let's do this. Let's do it this way. Like our brains are fabulous. You don't have to be like heartbeat, 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 right? Because we have our automatic thoughts. Everything that we do comes from a thought. So we kind of want to have those automatic thoughts, right? Like when we're crossing the street, good old mom, right? What did she tell us to do?
Look both ways.
Yeah. Look. And so that has become like this automatic thought, right? Because we practiced it a lot. And then our primal brain was like, ooh, got it. Okay. You always think that. Let me offer that to you. So it is correct that shows up. And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about like, man, they just keep coming. Like, why? Why does that keep coming? That's why. Because you're...
It just feels like the automatic thoughts don't serve me anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Many times they don't. You know, they're very, very helpful. But since we are more than just mammals, unlike Roxy, my dog, she does not have intentional thinking. We do. That's our gift as a human. That's our superpower. When Corinne says you can manage your thought, that's what she's talking about. She's not talking about the automatic thoughts, because you're like, she says that I can control my thoughts, but dang, I don't think I can. Those are two different things. You're talking about the automatic thoughts. She's talking about the intentional thoughts. So like all mammals, we have that primal brain. Those are just going to be like boom, 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 boom. And believe it or not, Kimberly, we all have that. You are not a special unicorn. You know, you're like, no, no, no. My thoughts are like worse. It feels that way because yes, I think you're noticing them, right? Like maybe before you kind of didn't notice them. Now you're like, wait a minute, this is BS, right? And this is all about no BS. Yeah.
And Corinne always talks about like arguing for your brokenness. Like I can argue for my brokenness all day long, but yeah. I don't want to be that person anymore. And I don't know how to move past that of being able to say how, like, what can I control? What can't I control? How do I handle what I can't control? And yeah. How do I control what I can control? And like, what is the difference, I guess?
Yeah, I think you're doing it. Believe it or not, you are at the first step. Yeah, you are. You're at the first step and you're noticing, because that is the first step. Like the first step is noticing. If we don't notice, we don't care. We don't know. You're noticing. You're like, oh, wow. Like these thoughts do not serve me. They are not helpful. They are messing me up, right? Unlike Roxy, the doorbells, you know, the doorbell rings and she's like, rah, 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 right? Like she loses her mind, right? she may do that on the call. She does not have, like humans, intentional thinking. She does not have goals. She's not like, you know what? Mom would love me so much better if I were a good, my goal is to be a good dog. She doesn't have that thought. Like she can't intentionally think, you know what, this has happened before. I know that, you know, my people don't like that. So I'm going to be a good dog. And my goal is to not react. She doesn't have that option. We do. But what's happening right now is that you're just in that first step. Like the first step is like noticing. That's good news. This is great news. Like that is progress. The next step is take a pause, right? Like practice. It's almost like urge work. When you look at module three is all about our automatic thoughts. Do urges go away?
They don't. You just kind of.
They never will. Like, fun fact. They never will. And some people may be like, wow, that's the worst news ever. And it's like, no, it's a function of survival. It's a function of being human. We need to have urges, or else, like, you know, things would happen. Like, we would never want to eat, probably. Like, we'd be like, let's just Netflix and chill. And, you know, urges are there for a reason. They are telling you something. They're telling you something that you need. A lot of times we, you know, give in to an urge by eating instead of asking ourselves, right? Like, okay, what do I need right now? So in your case, right, you could do all of that with this. And I tell my clients too, with urge work, I see this all the time. It's like, okay, great. I know that urges will never stop. Yeah. I know that I'm noticing yay win, right? Like, people are very like resistant to like celebrating.
Okay, I had all those thoughts while you were talking.
Right? Yeah.
I was like, that's great. What can I do about it?
Right.
Give me your due line and we'll just skip all the other stuff.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's that same process of, okay, next step. I got to see it, right? And I tell my clients too, it's okay that at this point you may be seeing it after the fact. You know, discovery worksheets were like, oh man, that just happened. Like, I don't even see that coming. I got the urge and it was like, boom, boom, boom. Okay, let's do a discovery worksheet. Let's dig in, right? Discovery worksheets and just no BS in general, the work, this is about how is my factory made brain? How's it work? What's happening here? So, you know, the next time this happens, you don't like what happened, let's dig in. You could use a discovery worksheet for that. Like, they said that, I said this, I noticed, right, that I immediately went to this. What was it that I needed? Like, okay, it was like, wow, I really wanted to have my boss validate me, and she just was not. That's what happened. Why is it normal? What exactly did I say? Did she say? What's my next best thought, right? Like, okay, it probably, that little signal probably meant that I need validation. How can I work on that? What can be my next best thought? And then work on that little by little. You will start to see, just like urge work, sometimes you see everything clearly after. Sometimes you'll catch yourself like, oh, here it goes. I'm doing it. Insert all the tools, right? Can I pause? Can we think about this? How do I want to show up right now? Can I just take 30 seconds to take a breath, right? Not react. Can I practice? And all of that is at the same work. Like, let's journal about it. Let's think about what's happening. If I see something like that I need on a regular basis, I need to give myself validation. I need to give myself some compassion, some love. And I know that it's so easy to think, if people said things, I would feel a certain way, right? And if you've been listening to the relationships, you tell us.
It's not true. It all comes from your thoughts. And that's what Corinne says over and over. It all comes from your thoughts. And I think I often shy away from the journaling and the discovery worksheets. I've done them before in situations where, like, I feel like I had a major blow up and I'll look at them. But I think I shy away from them because when I do them, I often end up in like this bitching and complaining journaling where I walk away and I feel so much worse, where all I sat and did was talked about how terrible everything is and worked myself up into more of a tizzy. And I think you're right that I really need to focus on, like, what can I take out of this? What can I really learn about myself from this situation? And what do I need? What do I need?
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting, and how can I give it to myself? because.
And then you'll think of the analogy that we always give, right? The judge and the scientist, right? Like when you're saying that you just like complain and, you know, like, this is the way it is. What is that? That's judgment, right? Like, man, why did they say this? Why did I say this? Like, why does this keep happening? Blah, blah, blah. I almost, you know, I'm doing this because I always imagine the gavel of the judge, right? The gavel, the judge does not move on. They're not curious. They know the law. And they like get the gavel and they're like, boom, law, we're done. We get stuck right here. Where the and so like that's the way it is. We're not moving away from this. The scientist is like, oh, this didn't go the way that I, yeah, right. This didn't go the way that I thought. Huh. What if I change this? Then what would happen? What if I change this variable? I had this theory, didn't work. So let's change. Let's test again, right? And then you try it. And then you keep trying.
Maybe it didn't work this one time, but I can try it again and see if it works a different time. Yeah. I think
right, like
the irony is there because I'm actually a science teacher.
Yeah, I love
it'll
it when
be
the
really
universe
easy
helps.
To remind myself that.
I love it when the universe helps. It's like, yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, right. Oh, that's so awesome. So yes, like I encourage you to, and it's so funny, right? Because we like we hear all of the like how to do the work, and you're like, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah. Not going to do it. It's like, well,
I think I'm way more pessimistic. I listen to Corinne's calls and I'm like, that's not possible.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's good that I sit and think about the ways that it actually is possible and really is doable. So
we're a lot alike because the reason why I joined No BS was because I heard her talk about like, eat the foods you love. And I'm like, this lady does not know what I eat. Like she's just, I'm going to prove her wrong. So I think like it can work both ways.
I actually
prove her wrong.
Right. I thought it was interesting in your intro. You mentioned like, sometimes we have to be here for the life stuff. And that's entirely why I joined. I've been a tiny little human my whole life. I've been very
awesome.
Little tiny, tiny, but I have struggled with the mental like life coach aspect of it for so long. And I have a family member who's involved and I was listening to it secondhand and I'm like, golly gee, I think I need this on my own.
Wow. That is so fantastic.
And I am the epitome of you will lose all your weight and still be unhappy because I never gained weight and I still have all these things to work on. So,
and you can use all of the No BS tools available. I mean, I really, yeah, I think it's fantastic. And you really can. Try it out. Try to prove no BS wrong. Do the work and see what happens. Fill out those discovery worksheets.
Well, prove the journaling. No BS part, right?
Right. Exactly. Like eradicate that BS from your life. Yeah. So how are you celebrating? I need to hear this part too.
For
your birthday.
Oh, staying at home. I had a lovely dinner with my family and I'm a teacher. So I took the students to the zoo today, just happened to fall on my birthday. So that was really exciting. But yeah, just keeping it low key. And I guess being here is really, really important to me because I really needed this more than I needed anything else. So
I'm so happy you're here.
I really appreciate you. Thank you.
That is awesome. So going forward, what's the plan? How are we going to deal with this?
I think I'm going to work more on more discovery worksheets and listening, not only to just listening to the thoughts and not judging them as much, but being curious about them and trying lots of things to see what's going to be effective and making sure that I'm writing it down so that I can literally see this thing was helpful in this way.
Yeah. In your journaling, take that scientist lens, right? Corinne talks about putting all that down, right? It's good to voice it out. The reason why journaling is so great is because then you can see it. It gives you like a different perspective, right? And then you can go back, take a second, go back, read it, circle all of the BS, like do the little BS fishing. Like, is that true? Oh my God, that's not true. This isn't true. This isn't true. And then you can take those, whichever like is the most impactful that you think. Then you take one of those thoughts and then put it through the four ends and like, wow, where does that come from? Why is that normal that I'm thinking that? What's the fact? And then how can I level up? And then I would like to add, how can I practice? We do all this work for the next best thought. And then we're like, okay, we're good. We don't practice our next best thought, right? Like, we don't put it into action. So do that extra step of, after you've done all that work, you get it. Like, okay, that makes sense. Next best thought. Let me start practicing that, because, you know, the automatic thought, you don't need to work. You don't need to work. It just like shows up. Yeah. So start practicing that new, like, what do I want to think?
Yeah.
And put it to practice. How
Corinne always talks about making the next best thought something that feels like it could be true, like in a,
oh, for sure,
a doable range. So I think, yeah, I can do that.
Awesome. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you for so being much. Coached on your birthday. How amazing. That is so cool.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Too.
I'll put you back down if I know how. That would be awesome. Okay. I got it. I have Trish. Let's bring Trish up. Trish, you're next.
Hi there.
Hi, Trish. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Very good. So happy to be here. Tell me, what would you like coaching on?
Well, my topic that I chose was imposter syndrome. I've been feeling that a little bit more and more lately. I feel that our firm, where I work for a law firm, and we're exploring the idea of going through a merger. And it's moving my cheese, basically, is what I think is happening. And so it's bringing up a lot of feelings of insecurity for me. I've been with them for about 15 years. And basically, I feel like I'm the jack of all trades, but the ace of nothing sometimes, where I'm great to do a little bit of everything, but it's hard to feel like I'm very proficient at something. So when something tends to go wrong, when there's an issue, whether it's with a client, with a coworker, with just something building related, I take a lot of it very personally. And I feel like there's something that if I was better at what I was doing, then this wouldn't be a problem. I'm just not as good as I think I am, or I would like to be. And then there's a part of me too that goes, what if we do go forward with this merger? Then all of these new people are just going to see what a fraud you are, and you're going to be found out at any time. And then by default, it triggers me to want to try and stop those feelings, which I've been turning to afternoon snacks for, or coming home to eat and relax, and, you know, which isn't the answer, and it's not going to fix anything.
What do you have to be proficient at?
You know, that's a great question. I just feel like because I do so many different things, that I don't have necessarily one thing that I'm just fantastic at doing. I can do a little bit of everything. I can go fix a copier. I can go pull together some paperwork or documents. I can give somebody some support or therapy in the office. It's all of these little things that I do, but it's less coming in and saying, here's what today looks like. This is what you're going to do. You're going to take it from start to finish, and you're going to, you know, complete something. I feel like a lot of what my life is just fixing things and coming in behind the scenes and cleaning up messes, you know, not in a bad way, but it's hard to feel like you can do this one thing and you can do it really well.
Wow. I mean, you sound pretty fantastic. So like, do you work with the X-Men or something? Like everyone has their one superhero power. Like,
my cape is in hiding. That's for sure. So that's kind of where my struggle is these days. And, you know, I've been really trying to run it through journaling and through the four N's,
I'm curious about that. Like, why do you have that thought? Like, does everybody at your work have like the one thing that they're proficient at, and you're the only one that doesn't?
I feel partially, yes. People, I think, have titles, right? Like, I work for a law firm, so I know when someone is an attorney. I know when they're a paralegal. I know when they're a secretary. I've done a lot of supportive things, but where I was, I started out here as a temporary employee, 15 years ago, and I've done several different jobs. And after the pandemic happened, when we had a lot of our people that were a little bit older or more susceptible to, becoming sick, they went home, and I took over a lot of this position of being an HR person, kind of doing more of the administrative supporting stuff. And it was things I've never done before. And I don't feel like somebody ever said, hey, let me show you how to do it. It's just been a whole lot of trial and error. And I just don't feel like I'm doing a great job at it all the time. I feel both overwhelmed and dismayed at the same time that there's so much that I don't know. It just weighs on me that I'll just never be good enough.
Why are you not thinking about all the things you do know? Like, it sounds like you know a lot. Right? I mean, well, I'm just curious with you. Like, I'm just trying to show you like a different perspective. Cause like, if I were telling you everything that you just told me, what would your perception be? Because I'm over here like confused, right? Like, I'm like, you sound fantastic. Like, you know, like you know a lot of jobs, you know, all of this stuff. Like, what is the problem? I don't understand what the problem is. Like, you want to know one. Is that true? Like, is that true?
I like knowing things. I just feel like even with my boss, basically they made up a title for me because it's not like just one thing. I feel like it's a little bit of an identity crisis too, I guess, which is creating that imposter syndrome. What I do, I don't know that it's something that particularly I would go out and say, here, I'm going to slap this on a resume. You'd know exactly what I do. I have to take some time and explain.
What is your title?
Practice coordinator.
What did you say?
Practice coordinator.
Okay.
And it's like, what does that mean? You know, and that's the one question everybody asks me was, well, what do you do? And it's like, well, I don't know. I do a little bit of everything. And I sometimes
don't. So then you do know. That is.
Well, it doesn't feel like it always does justice to what I actually do. And I don't, and I guess that's part of the identity crisis is, all right, am I doing really great things or am I just doing a lot of little stuff that feels like more cleanup that I can come in and fix a mess and clean it up? But
who will answer that? Like, who will answer that question?
I don't know. Not me.
Why not you? Like, you're the most important voice, right?
It is. I should be.
Because, like, what do you want? Let's just pretend. What would you want your title to be? Like, what do you want your title to be?
Oh, man.
What would make you feel like, yeah, man, I am a baller because I am?
Oh man, that's a really great question. I've actually not considered that. It's a little bit of everything. I think that's why it would be an office manager, a paralegal, a secretary, you know, sometimes the office therapist, the handyman, you know, it's all of those things combined. And I don't know what, if there is a title or there's something that it would fix it all or take it all away. It's a lot of my own personal thoughts, I think, on it right now. And this, and the possible merger has really brought up a lot for me that it's like, well, what do you do? We're meeting with this other firm. We're interviewing, we're talking to them. And those are their questions to me. Well, what do you do? Well, tell me what you do. It's like, well.
And then do you tell them?
I do, but it doesn't feel like enough. It doesn't feel like, why would I be of value that I could just come in and basically clean up the messes and just pinch hit when somebody needs me? What am I proficient at? What am I going to add value other than just kind of coming in as a catch-all?
Excuse my language. I'd be like, bruh, you need me. You need me. You know why? Because if like one of the X-Men leaves, I know how to, you know, do storms. I know how to laser people. I know how to do it all. I am. You can call me vice president. So that's what I do. Like, I do it all. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think right now it doesn't matter like what the title is. It really, you're onto yourself. Like, you're onto yourself that it really would not be. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't be the title. It really would be like what you think about it. Right. What you think about yourself. Cause can't you see it that way too? Like, come over here from this side.
I feel like, oh man, you just went in there and killed it today. And then something happens. There's some issue. Sometimes it's out of my control. And it's like, well, you fucked up. Had you known what you were doing? Had you been better at it? If you'd learned a little bit more, this wouldn't have been an issue. And I take a lot of that really personally. And that does tie into the, like, I just want to stop thinking about it. I just want to eat something. I want to sit here, shut it all down and not feel like this right now. I want to go back to feeling better about it.
Why is that normal that you do that?
Oh, because it's life. I mean, shit happens. Life gets.
No, better. Why is it normal that you do that?
Oh. Because I've had a lot of insecurity for a lot of years. I think No BS has definitely helped me a lot. I've been with No BS since 2020 and my thoughts, even just kind of catching myself in the bullshit and having the courage to come up and be coached, you know, is waves and droves different from where I was before. And I still have a tough time letting go some of that lifelong insecurity of, hey, you're good, but these are all the things that you could be doing to do better, whether it's, you know, losing weight, going to school, all of the things that I just have a lot of old insecurities that are still, those are my old shitties that keep coming.
Yeah. And they keep coming up and you keep believing them, right? Like you keep bringing them in. And do you see how that's not helpful?
It's not helping at all. It's not helpful.
But what's the solution? Like what, if you were to tell me like, you know, Trish, this is what I do all the time. Can I just tell you, this is what I do all the time. I just feel crappy about myself all the time. I tell myself I suck. What should I do, Trish? Like, how do I change that?
I feel like definitely the journaling, the writing down what you've done.
You're telling me.
Make yourself a to-do list, not just a to-do list. Tell me all the amazing things that you've done. Tell me three things that you've done today that are worthwhile. Tell me things that you want to work on or things that where you feel like you could be better, and go be better. Go do them. If you feel like you need to do a little bit more, you know, figure it out. Or maybe you found that you're just proficient enough as you are.
I don't think that'll work.
Not what I do. No, unless you try.
Really?
I know, it's not fun.
It's amazing. Like you have the answers, right? Like you have the answers. So tell me, what have you done? What have you done too?
I've done a lot of journaling about this. You know, I have an amazing accountability group, and my best friend is also in No BS. You know, and they're so wonderful at helping catch me in my bullshit and telling me all the things they really are. They're just flat ass amazing. And I appreciate it. And I'm trying so hard to embrace that. And I know that they're not bullshitting me, and I know that I'm not trying to bullshit myself. In that moment, it just feels so overwhelmingly true. Like an urge, right? Like you get there and you're in that moment, and I want to do it differently. I'd love to believe it. And then that little part of me that just is like, you know, you're full of shit, right? This isn't going to work. You know, just give up now, stay where you are. You know, and so I feel like a lot of that insecurity is just, you know, it's hard to shut down sometimes, even if I know what's wrong.
Yeah, it sure is. Like, yeah. And sometimes we like face plant, right?
Yep.
And then then what do we do? Right. Like I think right now too, the painful thing for you is that one, I don't think you've really seen the progress, right? Like, cause have you seen the progress? Like how you have, you know, were and now, and then this new thing, it's almost like it's activating it, right? Like, okay, so I probably need a little compassion right now because this merge is like bringing it all up. Whew, right? Like, okay.
Yeah, it really is. It's forcing me to, I think about some things that I've never really thought about before, you know, and it's not that I'm against doing this merger, but I'm also like, well, maybe now's a great time to look for another job. I mean, it's, you know, you never know what else is out there. And I still get those nagging feelings of like, don't do it. You're going to go try and apply and they're going to totally see through you. And what a fraud you are. Just stay where you are. You're stuck here.
And I mean, like that's another decision, but like the decision that you can keep practicing is like seeing that, you know, the crappy thoughts, understanding where it's coming from, having compassion, like, yeah, this is like triggering me, right? Yeah. It's almost like, man, you know, I got bit by a dog and it hurt, and I've done a lot of journaling and I've, you know, processed all of this. And now my neighbor has a dog, right? And I see him every day and it's like, ooh, here we go, right? It's like, now I got to put the plan in action on a daily. That's all that's happening right now, right? Like just understand why, I think will really help. I don't think you're, you know, I think there, I hear, tell me if I'm right, like this concept of like, man, I thought I was doing a lot better. And now it's like, whoosh, it just keeps coming up lately. But wouldn't that be normal if this is happening? You know, the merger, like it's just populating those automatic thoughts.
Right.
And because of that, you're kind of believing them right now, right? It's like, I kind of have them tamed, and now, now that they're coming up, they're coming up a lot, and I'm just allowing them in. Like, I'm just believing that nonsense. instead of choosing, right? And all of that work that, you know, you've done and that you do, that's the work, right? Like, that's the thought work. That's what we have to insert. The automatic thoughts, oh my gosh, you know, it's the theme of this call, right? Like, they're made for you. Like, they're there for a reason. They're automatic thoughts. They're our primal. I love this. I have this acronym that I heard too when I heard about this primal brain, because that really, I don't know. I just love that. So your automatic thinking is designed to create ease, an acronym for E. Mm-hmm. Everything is danger. Oh, right. A, avoid pain. S, seek pleasure. And E, expend as little energy as possible. Like, that's what our automatic thoughts do. Right. So right now you're in capital E, everything is danger. Right?
Well, let's make it easy. I'm going to just tell myself how dangerous it is. No, you're absolutely right. A lot of it is on autopilot, and they're the sneaky little thoughts. And then by the time that I sit down and sort through them, you know, it's like, okay, let's just grab some chips and try and not think about it for a few minutes and see if we can do better tomorrow. So I'd like to be able to function through without the chips.
Yeah. And I have a question for you.
Right.
What would your life look like if you didn't think that way about you? What if you like really believe that what you do is enough?
That's a good one. I feel like that would give me more confidence and power to do things differently in all kinds of aspects of my life. I feel like I would try more things I've had different kind of success, but even be more successful with no BS, that I could go out and find a little bit more self-confidence in a different way.
Would it change your life?
I think it would. Let me back up. I think it would enhance my life.
Yeah, I've got it for the life. Better, right?
Yeah. I think it would only make it better.
So isn't that worth that little bit of effort to do the work?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're 100% right.
I think sometimes we don't see the value, right? We're like, oh yeah, I should journal. Oh yeah, I should put intentional thoughts in place. Oh yeah, I should practice my next best thought. Yeah. But it's like, I don't think we see, like, oh my gosh, if I did this, I would feel so much better. Like, my life would change for the better. I don't want to stay where I am now. I don't want to keep thinking this. Like, Trish, I see you. Like, you're such, you know, you radiate. And it's like, come on, girl. Like, come on this side and see it from my perspective. Like, don't do that, right?
Thank you. That, like, means a lot.
Yeah. And like, you see you that way, right? Like, imagine if you saw what we all see. Hearts, guys, hearts. Tell her that I'm not the only one thinking this.
I appreciate all the love, everybody. I really, really do. I really, really do. I appreciate it tremendously.
Yeah. And so I think sometimes, look at those. And they don't stop coming, right? And it's like, I don't think that we understand that sometimes. We're like, oh yeah, I should do it. But this, you know, homeostasis, right? Like, we just do what we always do because it's comfortable, even though it's not great for us.
Right.
And sometimes we just gotta like, wake up. You don't want to stay here. Like, you don't.
No. Like, no, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So put that little bit of effort to, like, every time I see it, okay, gonna practice. I know, don't feel good because I'm not used to doing this. It doesn't feel comfortable.
Okay,
feels like, you know, but I'm gonna try. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Tell us what. Recognize what a badass I am.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. 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 And just, you know, tell your accountability partners. Keep in touch with us on Facebook. Like, tell us how it goes, because it's amazing. This work is amazing.
It really is. No, and I mean, just being here and being able to have the courage to come out and talk about this, because it has been something for so long that has been inside. It's a lot. It's a big deal to do this.
Right.
And I appreciate just everything. No BS, your time, everything. you know, everybody.
I appreciate you helping.
It helps so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Trish.
Guys, I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. We'll love to hear it. We're going to hear it.
Thanks, everybody.
Vice President. All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, our next person is Heidi Wells. Oh my gosh, you guys. Oof. Such good calls. I really think that we all need a little taste of that, right? Like we all need a little taste of like, man, what am I doing? Whew, take a breath. Hey Heidi. Gonna ask you to unmute. Hey, Heidi.
Hey, sorry.
There you are.
Yeah.
Oh, I love your wall color. It's fabulous.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
You too. I appreciate getting chosen and getting the opportunity to talk to you about this.
Thank you for being brave and coming up and sharing with us. What would you like coaching on?
Well, I am brave and I'm strong and I'm courageous. And a lot of that is because I'm a member of No BS. I started creating a life for myself that I love several years before I found it. And my confidence just skyrocketed. But of all the things I've done, I know that there are things I can't control. And so my younger son is very angry at me. He says he never wants to see me again, that he cannot forgive me, that I only care about myself. And so I feel helplessness because my instinct is to help him. And I know that I can't change his thoughts. And I know that I can't get him
help.
How old
is he?
He's 24.
Okay.
He's married and he has a little 2-year-old daughter. He will not let me see her. So I believe that I will have the chance to see him again and that I will have the chance to talk with him and move past this. But it's kind of a cycle. This is about the third time since he was a teenager that we've gone through this situation where he, and it's not just me, he is very angry at my older son. He's very angry at his father, his friends, everyone else is to blame for his problems. He takes every minor offense, minor inconvenience as an unforgivable offense. He's just irrational. He's unreasonable. I truly believe he needs counseling, mental health counseling, but that's not something that I can do for him. So I'm just trying to talk to as many people as I can. And that's the other thing about No BS. I didn't have adult friends for most of my life. And now I do. When something comes up with my son, I have like 3 friends that I text and I talk to people. And I talk to my older son and I talk to my boyfriend. This is what No BS has taught me, is how to handle this stuff like a boss. I am functioning so high. I have a great job. But every day there's just this heaviness and sadness that I know he's hurting so badly and I can't do anything about it. And, you know, I've lost people in my life that I grieve and they're gone and I can't ever speak to them again. My son is here. So I hang on to that thought. As long as the 2 of us are still breathing, we have a chance to be together again. But, you know, my granddaughter, she turned 2. They were living with me because they were having issues and they needed a place to stay. They lived with me for 5 months and I got to go through this time with her when she was learning so much every day and growing. And now I'm like, I do feel a sense of urgency about her because she may not remember me when I see her again. And so I know this is so common. So many families. If your family doesn't have shit like this going on, then those are the weird families, I think. We all have it.
Yeah. I like your power thoughts. I love your power thought that you inserted, that this is just a moment, right? Like, this is a moment in time and you do have hope. But I think, you know, a question that you can ask yourself every day, right? What do you need? What do you need right now?
Right. Well, I need to be able to talk to my friends, and I have that. I need to be able to have my job that I love, and I have that. I have my friends. I have so many things that I enjoy doing. I need my son. I need him. But right now I don't have him. And I know that tomorrow may be different. You know, I live by that saying that is from Tom Hanks in the Castaway movie. You never know what the tide's going to bring in tomorrow, and it may be something good.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, like we were talking about, like, it's so interesting, right? Like how our mind works. I see you putting in the work of catching those thoughts and then inserting the thoughts, catching those thoughts, inserting the thought. And I think sometimes we think it's just not overall going well, right? Like, I just have to keep doing this work. Yeah, that's normal. Like, that is normal. Some seasons it is that way. Our brain loves certainty, right? And when it sees that there is no certainty available, it grasps, right? Like, it just grasps and it just starts bringing in until suddenly we got like this nice knot. Like, I always think, visualize like the necklace. I have really thin necklaces, and sometimes if I let them go, they're like, oh my gosh, now what? Right. And I think you see that, right? Like, you see the shades of BS and then you try to like unravel. Some seasons are that way, but it's worthy work, right? Like, it's worthy work. And I think just on a daily basis, showing the certainty that you do know is going to have to be what you do right now. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know when I'll see him. I don't have that certainty, but I do have certain things that are true. I will always have my son, always going to be my son, always going to love him. I have hope that it will work out. You said yourself, right, that he has had seasons of this. You know, right? Come around, right? It may not, but I do have a relationship with him. Like, I think pointing yourself to what you do know, what you do have. Relationships are nothing but thoughts, right, in our mind of what we feel about a person. And I think that's hard to imagine because we have certain definitions of what a relationship should be. Like, it should be this way. When in fact, relationships are what you think of them. Like, I have a best friend from college. I don't see her on a daily basis. I do know that when I see her, it's just like old times, right? Like, time has not passed. Why? Because I have thoughts of what my relationship is. I also have people that I know that I've never, you know, I haven't seen them in years. I don't have that relationship with them because I don't think that way. Like, I don't think, oh, when I see them, I'm going to be, you know, I'll just like, oh yeah, there's Beth or whatever, you know, like, it's everything that you have in your mind. So you saying that, you know, you want your son, you have your son, you can have a relationship with him. It's just a collection of your thoughts, right? Of what that is. You do have a relationship with your son. And how can you, you know, work on you, right? So that you are prepared for when that time comes, right? Like, how can you show understanding? Like, how, like, on you, when you think of him, right? Instead of thinking like, I don't know what he's doing. Oh my gosh, he needs help. How can I understand him better, right? Like, how can I get curious about this? How can I be kind in this relationship that I have right now with him? You can still have a relationship, right? How can I be compromising? He doesn't want me to see his granddaughter or your granddaughter. Okay. A relationship is about give and take. Going through it right now, right? Like, he's going through it. How can I show up as my part, do my part in the relationship, knowing that you are taking steps? Can you hang on to that? You know, like you could erode the relationship by allowing the automatic thoughts, like, what the hell is he doing? What is he thinking? He should be doing this. He should be doing that. How would that help the relationship?
No, it doesn't. And I'm talking to a counselor, and early on we talked about, well, what's my goal? And she asked me, do you really believe you're not going to see him again? And I said, no, I don't believe that. So my goal is, how am I going to interact with him? And I decided I'm not going to go out of integrity with myself. He's angry at me because I set boundaries. He didn't like it. I could have backed off and said, oh, I'm sorry, I offended you. I'll do whatever you want. Please come see me. And maybe 6 months, a year from now, I will decide I will do that. But right now, I am very strong in my belief that to be in integrity with myself, I have the right to set boundaries with him and my family. But yeah, that's what I need more work on, is how to see this from his perspective, because I just do not get how why he thinks what he's thinking makes sense or is reasonable. And so that's what I'm working on, is trying to understand his perspective about, you know, other people, even me saying that he believes his problems are other people's fault. That's still seeing it from my perspective, not from his perspective.
Yeah.
I was so strong when they first left me. And I kept thinking to myself, my granddaughter, our memories will never be taken away from me. She may not remember them, but I have them. And she's not here on this earth for me to enjoy, for me to just get to watch her grow. She's here for her own good life. And if that doesn't include me, I'll figure out how to live with that. But it's really hard.
Yeah.
And so that's what every day I've learned such great habits. I journal morning and evening. I do bottles. I'm always working on that. And sometimes I get tired of having to work on it all the time, but I'm not giving up and I'm not quitting. No BS. I hope it's here forever. I mean, I hope Corinne does it till she's 80 and then someone takes over from her. That's sort of as half as good as she is. Well, of course, I won't be around when she's 80 because I'm older than her, so that's okay.
Heidi, you have such great, I mean, you are doing it, right? Like, I know, and I think what can help you is to identify, we only have a certain capacity of like energy and strength in a day. I think really catching those painful, heavy thoughts, I think it's worth the work. I think, you know, you said this is really hard and some days it's really hard. I heard you several times, you know, have a really painful thought about your granddaughter. And I see you catching it, right? Like, okay, I don't need to be with her or whatever. But when you think, I'm, you know, oh gosh, you know, she may not remember me. I may not have time with her. Thank you, automatic brain, right? Like, you're bringing up like danger thoughts, like avoid pain. I'm trying to avoid pain. I'm trying, you know, everything is dangerous, all the automatic thoughts. But little thoughts like that, every time you say it, like you tear up and I see the heaviness. So understand the weight that that's creating and be on the alert and be like, oh, I see you. It's almost like hot potato. I see you, hot potato. No. Otherwise, if I leave it here, my hands burn. My heart burns. My chest gets heavy. Like, notice when a thought does that to you. And that's the one to like, I got to let you go. I can't keep you. I can't, you know, let you stay. It's almost like looking through the peephole, right? Like, someone's knocking. It's an old Chetty. Let me look. Okay. Like, oh no, I ain't opening that door. You got to stay out.
You and the other coaches talk about how it's natural to feel sadness. And so that's kind of, hard to balance too, that sometimes I need to let myself feel sad and I need to cry, and I really don't cry. This is probably as far as I get crying.
Yeah.
And I feel like I probably just need to set myself up to purposely cry, and maybe that would help. But it's just, yes, I'm getting good at putting those feelings aside and having alternative thoughts so that I can enjoy my life. But sadness is, it's anyway. Yeah.
It is. And I think that's a good point, that you get to decide, is this helping me or not? Because Coach Ashley, give me a holla. I think you were in the room when Corinne coached me. I think I put it in our training, Ashley. I think you remember this. Like, I was like, I keep thinking. And Corinne goes, okay, you've done the work. You can let it go. Like, you already know where that goes, right? I tell my clients, like, I think sometimes we get on the train and we know where this train is headed. Like, we know where the train is headed. The train has a title, Shitville. That's where we're going. Like, I am on the train. Sometimes I forget I'm on the train, right? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm on that train. I forgot to look at the, you know, where this one was heading. And if I go there regularly and then I, you know, get off the train, I'm like, oh wow, I'm in Shitville. Huh, how'd that happen? It's like, oh, because I got on the train. That, you know, there's a difference between like allowing emotions and then Ashley's like, you know, understand where that's headed. And if it's not serving you, you don't need to replay that. We don't need to, you know, it's like I can decide, like, no, I don't want to get on that train. There are times that there's a difference between avoiding emotions because I don't even want to experience it. I don't want to deal with it. But then there's times where it's like, am I indulging? And that's a little harsh, right? Like, yeah. I don't know if I'm indulging or like, this is just so practiced that the sadness feels comfortable now, right? It's like, am I doing that? I think it's, this is the time where you can get really curious, because I think only you will know, like, is this really serving me? Or do I just need to be like, I can put that to rest now. I see you. I understand where this is heading. It's not doing me any good.
Yeah.
Because is it helpful to think?
No.
I may never see my granddaughter again. She may forget me. Like, how is that like a, you know, it's like if I feel grief and I know, right, like there's a certainty, there's like nothing that I can do, can't bring back. I need to feel grief because I loved so much. Okay, yeah. Let's have a moment. But do I need to think? Worry is one of those indulgent emotions. We think it's productive. We think it's helpful. Is it? Like, no. Right? And taking the opportunity to try to find those little ones to loosen. I do this because it's like a backpack, this emotional backpack, right? If I got like 10 pounds, if I see one that's just not necessary, I can take it off. Like 1 pound is a lot, right? When I'm carrying a backpack. If I see something, I can like let it go. I can let that one go. I can take that one away. Because I only have so much strength in a day. So I have to be on the alert.
Yeah. Well, but I also feel like I want to conserve my strength sometimes and reach out to him, knowing that he's going to come back and lash out at me and say cruel things. But as his mother, I feel like I just need to keep reminding him that if he does need want me, I'm here. He knows that, but I feel this urge to tell him, but I have to be ready for the response because I've experienced it so many times before. And the first thing I told him the last time he texted me was, look, I don't want to do this on text. I want to talk to you in person. And he refused. So I have these really awful texts on my phone. And so.
Yeah. Why? Do you have to keep those?
No. And, you know, I get rid of them periodically. You know, I talked with my counselor about them. To me, when I'm talking to her, it's easier for me to have them there than for me to try to repeat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, but I just feel like I can try to reach out to him, but it's really hard too, because, you know, so that, yeah. But that's another thing, that by living my good life and enjoying my life and learning what I can from this group, I can then go ahead and be strong and reach out and take whatever response I get, say, okay, didn't work this time. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Maybe tomorrow he'll look at that and he'll think, gosh, is this a way for us to be?
That's a good why. That's a good why, to be on the alert on what is necessary pain and what is not. This one is optional. I can take that one off. So I think like a good plan for you would be to decide, right? Like, what will help my relationship? What helps a relationship in general, right? Like understanding, being giving, being kind, being considerate, right? Like if I think of those things, how can I be that? How can I work myself, right? Like not him. How can I work on my side of the relationship? How can I work every day? How can I think these things with those things in mind so that I can take a step every day to building instead of eroding the relationship? Because we're not static, right? We either step forward or step backwards. Like we're, you know, so that is a good why for you to remember. Like, it is worth me doing this because I am helping the relationship. I'm doing my part. So that when we come again, right, I will be free. I'll be stronger, right? I'll be able to do my part. Otherwise, look at if indulging in the thoughts that are painful, that make me think a certain way about my relationship, that might be eroding it. Like, be on the alert of when I am helping and when I am eroding the relationship. Every day, like, how am I helping the relationship? How am I showing up for my half? Because that's a good why. That's a good why. When you show up, it'll be like, yeah, I did my part.
Yeah.
And it'll make the relationship stronger. You're so strong, Heidi. I see it. I see you putting in the work. Congratulate, acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Of what, you know, what you're doing. And then just be on the lookout of like, just all that, right? Like, is this helpful or not? Like, you get to decide. Is this thought helping me? Man, if it's wearing me down, if it's making me sad, and I already have practiced this thought, I already know where this is heading, I can probably let that one go because I need my strength, right? I need my strength.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Worthy work.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, I'm worth it and he's worth it. So.
Absolutely. Wow. Like such a great example of, you know, being a parent, right? When it's not fun, right? Like when it's not fun, we do it because it's like, yeah, because we love those stinkers. Yeah. Thinking about my own kids. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming up and sharing. Like, I know that you help many, many people. Yeah. Thank you, Heidi.
I appreciate that.
Yes. For sure. All right. I'm going to change you to attendee. And I think we have one more. Can you all relate? This is amazing, right? Like amazing work that we're all doing. Carrie, I'm going to present you to panelists. Oh, I like that question, Susan. Is reaching out the best thing for you? I think that's a great example of being very, very curious, right? Of like, is this helping me? Making me weaker, making me stronger. Mm. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm always blessed beyond what I deserve. Always.
Wow. That's a powerful thought. You guys are amazing. Carrie, what would you like coaching on?
I am in the season of life, navigating how to relate to my parents as they're aging and their health is declining. One of my biggest whys for being in No BS and being healthy and active is to not end up in the situation that my mom is in, which is being almost completely immobile. And she's had struggles with weight her entire life. And I just don't want that. I have a grown son as well, who, Lord willing, will give me grandchildren someday soon. And I want to be an, you know, active part of their life and be able to do things with my son and stay active. I've always been athletic and active. But they're in a situation now where her and my dad have firmly decided to stay at home with home health care or home caregivers. My sister is a nurse. And another part of this is that we're geographically separated. They're still in California where I grew up, and that same home I grew up in. And I'm here in Texas now with my husband and son. So my sister's still local and able to do the physical help, which is a God-given blessing that she's a nurse and can have that knowledge to help them. So we've both made it very clear to them that our wish is for them to be in a assisted living environment where they can get more care. And they did say yes for a very brief time and then pivoted and not in a good way and changed their minds. So my, it's an answer to prayer that I was chosen tonight. I just need help and wisdom from anywhere I can get it on how to navigate that right now. In this moment, I have a lot of anger and disappointment towards my mom for choosing to be in a stagnant lifestyle and not better her situation to where she can use her gifts out in the world. And she's just pretty much homebound and doesn't see the light of day. She doesn't meet new people or have new experiences. And my dad has always been very spontaneous and adventurous, and he's not out experiencing the world and has a joy and a reason to get up in the morning. I just feel like they've given up. And so I don't know, as a daughter, as a grown daughter, how to now navigate that with still having boundaries for myself.
I invite you to get that wisdom from yourself, right? Like, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to sit right next to you and we're going to check it out. But yeah, the wisdom is going to come from you. So what's the problem? They're not doing what you want them to do. Is that it in a nutshell?
And they're both of, you know, sound mind right now. And they've made the choice to stay in their home that they've made for 50 years and continue to get caregiving.
Why is that a problem? Why is that wrong? Why are you seeing it as a problem? I mean, I know I heard like dad, but if they decided.
They're deciding to give up on life. It's an imprison. It's a prison. When I think of my childhood home, I have great memories growing up, but now when I think of it, it's synonymous with a prison and death. And that sounds so morbid and like harsh, but
yeah,
my dad literally acknowledge that he's not drinking water because he's ready to die. My mom has responded to me about wanting her to be more active and get stronger so she can walk and get out of the house to saying, that's not going to happen. It's quite the opposite. Those were her.
Do you think that I know what's best for your life?
No, we just met.
Do you think your parents know what's best for your life?
I think my parents would have a strong opinion on what they think is best for my life.
Do you think you have a strong opinion about what is best for their life?
Absolutely.
Can you see that? Yeah. And so how is that okay for you to have an opinion and for them to have an opinion?
I think it's okay to have an opinion, and it's from both ends. And I've even tried that angle with my mom of, if I was in your situation, what would you advise me? I come to her for wisdom on other things in my life, and I respect her opinion. And she's always been my best cheerleader, fan, supporter. She would not like stand for that, you know, to just give up and stay in the house and not go out and do anything and have an effect on the world. God's given her so many gifts and she's not using them, just staying at home and being in front of the TV on a recliner all day because of her, you know, unwillingness to go out and move.
What does it mean to you that they're not listening to your advice?
I don't know what it means to me, but I know how it makes me feel: sad, angry, and disappointed in them.
Yeah. Do you think that that's true? Like, I'm just being curious, right, with you. And I want you to see too that Corinne talks about the book of shoulds, right? Like, people should do this. They should do this. Like, I can see it. Like, they should. And when you write that book of shoulds, the problem with that is that we cannot control, right, other people and what they eventually decide to do. The problem comes when they don't. Here's the script I wrote, Mom and Dad. Like, can you read it? Like, can you just say it? Because if you do everything that's in my book of shoulds, then I'll feel so much better. Like, I will feel relieved that, you know, you're doing the right thing, that this is because I know. But understand that that's not how it goes, right? Like, if we had that type of power, right? Mwahaha. I just write the book of shoulds, I hand it out, and then people, you know, do everything I say, then I feel so much better. Like, we just don't have that power. And I think it gets, you know, we bump into problems when this happens. It's like, oh my gosh, they should be doing this. And when you think about it, it's like, why? Just keep asking why. Why do I want them to do that? Because then I will feel relief. I will feel like they're doing the best thing. Do you see that?
I don't agree that that's my motivation. Motivation is not to relieve myself and for them to follow my advice. My motivation is for them to have a better, more active, more purposeful life. And it's just,
Oop. I think we got disconnected. We can see if she comes back on. But when we talk about, you know, if you all want to look at the relationships course, there is a lesson in the relationships course that you can take a look at on influence and control, right? I don't think that you know, that Carrie's motivation was, you know, for her to feel good. But when we look at how our mind works, remember our automatic thoughts, right? Like, it's trying to alert us of danger, and we're trying to avoid pain. So it's like, when we see our family members, our mind is like, oh my gosh, this is what should happen, because we're trying to avoid pain for myself and for the people that I love. And if they were to do this, then, you know, we would feel that relief. And oh, there, Carrie's back. So happy, Carrie. Yeah. Thank you, Ashley. You put that up. That's a great lesson to take a look at, just to try to understand how our minds work. Our minds are like wondrous things. Are you coming up, Carrie? I put you up as... Carrie, if you want to raise your hand again. We can try to get the show on the road. Are you back? I don't see you with your raised hand. If you can do the raised hand. I don't see Carrie. But anyway, yeah, that's like an interesting thing that our minds do in an effort, right, to solve these problems that we see. And take a look at Carrie, if you listen back to this call, because I don't see you back up here, that lesson in the relationships course, influence and control, is really, really good to take a look at, because it explains a lot. And just like the whole theme of this call, right, is to see how our mind works and how our automatic thinking tries to help us. It's not trying to hurt us. It's not trying to hurt anyone, right? It's just trying to help us. I don't see her. I know you all are saying she's back, but she has to raise her hand and I don't see her on the lineup. Do you, Ashley? I don't see her. Don't you just love Zoom? Yeah, I don't see her on the participant list. I'm so sorry, Carrie. We are, you know, feel free to come to Ask Coaches. We will be happy to hash this out with you. Part of coaching is just taking a look at what our mind is showing us and trying to understand how that works and how to work through it. There, Carrie, are you back? Here we go. She's coming up, y'all.
Hi, Carrie. Thank you so much for your patience with me.
No, it's not you. It's Zoom.
And, you know, ironically, my husband's in IT, and he's doing everything he can to help me. So thank you all so much for your patience. And
thank you for your tech guy.
And withing me. Sticking with me.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. I call my husband my tech guy because he always does that too. I'm like, what's happening? Help me.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, when we're doing this, we're, you know, with coaching and stuff, we're just trying to understand how our mind works and how it is trying to solve something, right? And the effect that it has on us. Like your parents are not in the room. They're not getting coached. My concern is you, right? Like, how are you thinking about this? How can you think of this clearer? I saw you asking for wisdom. Such a great tool, right? Like, understand that that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to think about this in the best way possible. So if you could, what would be the solution? Like, right now, your brain is like, the only solution is if they do this, then that would make it like, then all our problems would be solved if they took this direction, right? Do you see that?
Yeah.
And is there another way? Like, is there another possibility? Is there another way to look at this?
Well, I that's what I'm coming to you for. But the only other solution is prayer, like, because God's the only one that can change their heart and their minds. And you're absolutely right that I can't control the situation. I can't make they've made their decision. And my sister and I have said that out loud, acknowledged that verbally. They've made their decision and we have to honor that.
Yeah.
And it's just so sad to watch. So in this moment now, it's how do I move forward in a relationship with them, with having the boundaries of obviously them knowing I don't love their choice and I want the best for them, you know?
Yeah. And they're your parents, right? They're adults. They get to choose, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's a good question to even ask yourself. How can you honor them and their decision? Like, how can you do that? What is the best way to do that?
I think just being her cheerleader, like she's been with mine. I've done that before. Like when I went to visit in February, I had her stand up to give me a hug. Like I made that kind of a prerequisite. I'm like, I want to hug you because I haven't seen you in so long, but I want you to stand up to do it. And just encouraging movement and just being a cheerleader and continuing to tell them all their gifts and what I love about them and how I want to see them using that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good, that's a good use of influence, right? That module that I keep talking about, it's what can you do to change yourself so that you influence the relationship, right? Like, how can I think of this differently so that I show up as a very supportive person so that they understand, right, that I love them, that I'm suggesting these things because it comes from love. How do I show that, right? Like, how do I show them that? I think that's the best place to look at, right? Like, how do I show up in this relationship? Just like how I was with Heidi, right? Like, what are the steps that I can take in this relationship that can strengthen the relationship so that they know I am on your side? I'm not telling you this because I want something.
Right.
I love you so much. This is what I think, right? It is ultimately your decision, but listen, you know, I understand. I am hearing you. I am trying to see your point of view. And have you asked them that? Like, what's your
point
of view?
She's told me. Yeah. She's, when they did agree to move into an apartment in an assisted living situation, what really changed her mind is that they couldn't take their dogs. And she knows I love dogs. So she said, just think of you being asked to leave your home of 50 years and leave your dogs behind, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I understand that. But when she verbalized that she would not become active and that it would be the opposite, that really made my sister and I angry. We're like, what do you mean opposite? Like, we're trying to get you to become more mobile again and go out for walks, go outside. So that was really disheartening for sure.
And broke my heart. Like, you can, right? Like, you can tell her, this is what I see. Like, I see that movement is important and it will help you. Like, you can help, right? Like, you can influence by telling her it would be best for the dogs, right? Like, if you were able to move a little more, oh no, are you stuck, Carrie? You know, you can, that lesson always shows how you can do your part in understanding and loving the person that you are in the relationship with in the best way. And that's the only control that we have. The only control that we have is over our words, our actions. And if we concentrate on taking steps to doing the best that we can on our side of the relationship, that's all we can do, right? In these types of relationships. Oh my goodness. Where's the tech guy? Poor Carrie. I'm so sorry. We're going to have to end this call. But yes, the theme of the night, with all of these calls, there's been a theme, right? Like, there is a part that you have in relationships, in your thought work, in what you think, and how you show up. There are definite steps that you can do that can help. And that is who we can change. We can change ourselves and we can take steps forward to making any relationship better, right? Because if we do our part, we're taking steps forward in that relationship. You guys, it has been such a pleasure to be here with you. I hope you took a little bit out of each person that came here to share their story. Try to see how you can apply it in your life. Like, question that's always great. What do I need? How can I give that to myself, right? Those are questions we rarely ask. What steps can I do to practice? Like, if I do the work of doing the four N's and I get my next best thought, how can I practice that next best thought every day so that I can use the very limited energy that I have on a daily basis? If you all need further coaching, the whole team is in Ask Coaches. Please put your questions there. If you get an answer and you're like, I don't think they got what I was saying, come in again and explain. Like, I said this, the coach said this, this is my next question. We are more than happy to do follow-ups. And we're there for you. You guys, tomorrow is Wednesday. Coach Kathy is going to be in the Q&A. She's got an announcement. That's all I'm saying. Tune in, please. And if you don't catch it live, you can catch the replay. It'll probably be all over the Facebook group. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you so much for being here with me, sharing your lives, listening, giving support. Oh my gosh. Like, I loved all the hearts that went up when our panelists needed it. And we'll see you in the membership. Thank you, Coach Ashley. Woohoo. It's in the books. Bye.